is a public service announcement. The episode that you are about to listen to is part of the annual Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunkcast. What is about to follow may be offensive, may be stupid, it's us getting drunk, and please forgive us if we say anything horrific. All right, on with the episode.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 547, part one. It's the Drunk Cast, baby. A lot of you lot's favourite time of the year, some of you lot's worst time of the year, but here we are. We almost didn't do the Drunk Cast this year. We had a big kind of discussion about it. It's the first time I've put forward to whether we want to, because we get into it, but the three of us have had up and down years, so I wasn't sure if it was the year to kind of get drunk and think about it, but I'm so glad we did. I will give you a warning. The Drunkcast is always a bit of a mess. I've got new recording equipment, and there was a bit of a mess up on my side, so it recorded perfectly, but we don't have the individual stems, which we normally have, and that just means that the Buddy Peace, the best producer in the world, has got his hands tied on how much he can clean it up and tidy it up. So things like Stu breathing into the mic a lot when he's drunk, maybe some eating, maybe some Chris being nowhere near the mic half the time because he's drunk. So we've bumped a lot of it. Buddy has done an amazing job. You probably wouldn't have noticed if I hadn't said, but I just wanted to pre-warn on that and make it clear that that was my mess up. I thought I'd done a good thing in the settings, and I'd done a bad thing. I'd been a bad boy. Anyway. Let's get on with this. There's five parts, ladies and gentlemen, so there's plenty more to come, but this is the start of your journey. This is part one of the 2023 Drunkcast with Chris and Stu from the Hardcore Listing podcast, and just from my life. They are wonderful humans. Let's go with part one. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction. Right, we're rolling. Here we are. You can already hear the munching of crisps.
Yeah, cheers.
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 It's Drunkcast time. It's been a while, isn't it?
I wasn't sure if we were allowed to talk or not.
Yeah, I guess so. I normally do a big intro, and I normally say I'm joined by my oldest friend, one of my oldest friends, Chris Glasson, and one of my oldest friends, Stuart Whiffin. And
you're bored of that. I hear it once a year.
I did it 2 years in a row, and Chris and Stu loved it the second time, which makes me know he got wankered the first time because he'd completely forgotten it. Although, when we did the Drunk Cast, were you there when we had James Acaster and Ed Gamble on for Pod Bible?
Yeah.
Because when we did the Drunk Cast that had Acaster on and he got wankered, yeah, yeah, and he hilariously dubbed me Woke Fagan.
Yeah.
I referenced, when we had them on Pod Bible, I referenced myself as Woke Fagan, and he cracked up, and we realised he had no memory of that, so he just made himself laugh. He thought I'd come up with it. It was like, Woke Fagan, that's fucking brilliant. I was like, you know that's yours, right?
Yeah, it's the test of a good joke, isn't it?
Anyway.
I've just had a sip of that beer.
Well, let's see what we're all drinking. Stu, what are you drinking? It's in a Stella glass, but that's just...
Yeah, it's not Stella.
To get through customs at Essex.
It's the Brewdog Lager.
The Brewdog Lager. Is it any good?
It's all right. I just don't want to, like, do what Chris is doing right now.
Yeah. What have you gone for, Chris?
OJ.
It's a premium strength beer.
Yeah, you said you got a can of OJ, and I was like, no, that'd give me acid indigestion, thinking for some reason you were offering me orange juice.
A can. He thought I suggested he gets a can of orange juice. He's choosing his beers. I'm like, how about a can of orange juice?
Because he just offered me a Smirnoff Ice. That's
right. What
I thought I suggested a Smirnoff Ice, yeah.
My guts.
Right.
And then he said OJ. I thought, well, anyway, it's 8.5% strong, born in Belgium beer. I thought, for a joke, I'll have some, and it's quite nice, but it is really strong.
Is it tenant super?
It's got like a hipster on the front, isn't it? It's got like a bearded guy, a cartoon of a bearded guy.
It's probably like it tastes like nice Belgian beer, but with a shot of vodka in it.
That's actually all right.
It's not too bad. I was hoping I wasn't going to like it, then I wouldn't drink it, but it turns out I like it.
It's been a surprise good advert for OJ.
Yeah, there you go.
Buy it as a joke. enjoy it.
That's the tagline.
Buy it as a joke, become an alcoholic.
A bit like, that should be your slug, right, for the junk you're drinking, right?
The best drink. I'm drinking a Scroobius, obviously. Mm-hmm. A Slingsbury gin and Pepsi Max.
Lovely.
And you had one of these recently, didn't you, Stu? I'm sure you put in a message somewhere, you said you were having a Scroobius and,
yeah,
and Chris got annoyed at you.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to have them now.
Just the way you say that isn't like you're choosing it either, though. You're more than happy.
Well,
sounds like they're being forced.
I'm not a massive beer drinker, and I think all of them nights we've done the We Are Lizards at the book club, mm-hmm, where you just got complimentary. I'm sounding like a bit of a prick here, but they would obviously fill the fridge up with free beer.
Yeah,
but they'd also give old Queen Bee over there a fucking bottle of gin and, mm-hmm, a few jugs of Pepsi Max, and I ended up just thinking, oh, I might have some of that instead of the beer, and I think that's where I converted.
I just stuck.
You got fully on board, didn't you?
Yeah,
I like that, that if you were to do top five beers,
yeah,
your number one would be free. That trumps
they're
everything.
The best one.
That trumps everything. The fact that we would always just drink the crap that they put in the fridge for free because it's free. So we could just have a good night and drink something that we enjoy.
When they had the Amstel phase, I was a bit of a prima donna about it. I complained quite heavily. I drank it. But I didn't drink it in peace. I made a real big old fuss about it.
How are you both?
What?
What's going on? Here we are. Here we are on a drunk cast. A second one of the year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because we did it in Jan.
Because last year we couldn't get in at Christmas, so we did it in Jan.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, I did at the time, but I've forgotten.
Yeah.
You been all right?
Lucky listeners.
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
All right.
I was wearing a jumper that, for my birthday, worked for my birthday. And it went down a storm in
Margate. It's jazzy,
isn't it? I saw it in Margate. You
made it sound as if I wore it as a birthday treat to you. That wasn't the case. I happened to wear it. You wore it for my birthday.
Especially.
What's
going on? It's just a jumper. What is? I don't know.
You can't just casually just sit around in that. That's a statement.
It's a jumper. It's got.
Look at me.
Mary and a baby Jesus, I guess, on it. Mm-hmm. But they're black. Some black angels. And some doves.
I don't know why you got to pick that point out of their race. That's racist in many ways.
I think it's a key part of it, is it not? Because most depictions of Mary and Jesus and all that are white, when that's not accurate to the region that it's all meant to be. So I think that's probably part of it.
In many ways, they look too black.
You say that so often. There's Chris's catchphrases back in already. And that's normally episode 3 or 4.
That beer's
And I want to clarify, actually, that we're all good guys. Like, have I told you about this?
Jesus.
No. I've had people, because it's occurred to me that because we've been doing this drunk cast for so long, there's so many people who've come on a journey with us, right, from the early days to now, and have heard the shocking stories, but also heard the really heartwarming ones, heard us drunk arguing about idiots who think it matters what gender you are and, like, what gender the toilets are and all this kind of thing. Because we go into default mode, I had someone last year who said I started listening but couldn't do it. Because when Chris does joke lad mode, and it was something on last year's that you were talking about a film that had two girls in it or something, and Chris just went, did they les off? Or something like that, which isn't, it's meant ironically, but because we don't do the setup anymore, we're all so comfortable just going, oh. So anyone new tuning in, hears our accents and goes, oh, is this that kind of podcast? Yeah. And
it's really difficult, that, mate. I think
it's a weird one, isn't it? It's a weird balance.
Yeah, managing your reputation, I think there is a risk with it.
You genuinely struggled on it for a while because there was definitely a point where you felt that you had to get the most wankered because that had kind of become a thing, that you're the one that's screaming at the end or doing whatever.
Molly was literally saying to me on the drive down, you know what will happen? You'll get too carried away, and the boys will be like, "Oh, Chris can just slip into the really drunk mode and be really gregarious and rude."
I've said it the last couple of years, and I want to be really clear: you don't have to slip into that mode. I welcome it, and I thoroughly enjoy it, but it is never a pressure or responsibility.
Anyway, cheers to that 8.2% laugh.
I love that on the way down, Molly was saying, take it easy, don't get too into it.
What's the strongest beer you're selling here, mate?
Last time, it was really, we were sat here and we were on episode 4 and everything was so civil. And I was like, I'm going to get away with this.
Mm.
Like, I'm not.
And then we did some shots.
And then we drank that whole bottle of that monkey shoulder whiskey.
Old-fashioned
whiskey. Yeah. And that was it. I couldn't remember a bloody thing.
Was it the last time we all ended up sitting around crying?
From what I hear, you guys were
crying.
I kept
strong. It is true. We always, on the episode we did, top 5 songs that make you cry. You and me cried and Chris didn't.
He's dead.
Because he's a tough guy. Well, I mean,
you've got a black belt, mate.
As we're starting things off, like, there's loads I want to talk about. We've got questions. I want to talk about Chris's birthday. I want to talk about the Tories. I want to do some games.
Okay,
I want to talk about morals in podcasting, because I think we've all had some really interesting things this year and decisions to make. There's one in particular I thought you handled really well, Stu. You're looking blank. You've already forgotten it, but we'll get to that. There's loads of stuff. Songs. I had my first sports massage in a decade. I want to get into that big time. So yeah, there's loads of stuff. I want to talk about favourite film, music, TV. I also want to discuss some board games, because I've been playing a few board games this year. I know Chris is a fan. I've been to the theatre a bit, podcast stuff, all of these things. But I'm going to start it on a bit of a weird one, but it's kind of to encourage listeners to do this as well, because I don't think that us three have hung out enough this year, or as much as we would have liked to, the three of us together.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of you, and I've seen a decent amount of you,
but
I don't think there's been enough where we've all hung out together. Yeah. And not that we all need to go into it, but all three of us at different points have had a fucking shit year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we need... We obviously can go into as much detail as we want, but we don't have to. Mm-hmm. So I want to... I think there's a lot of people who meet up with people for the first time in a while over Christmas, and I just want to ask how you two's mental health has been this year, because I know that mine has been a struggle on and off. I've had a rough time. Speaking of crying, me and Stu are comfortable with crying.
Mm.
I did a video up at the Edinburgh Fringe because I've been to see a couple of shows, and Rob Alton always makes me cry. And I just said a throwaway line at the beginning, saying it's been a record-breaking year for tears for me, because I had a rough start of the year and I was a lot of tears. I didn't even think about it as a dramatic thing. I had so many people reaching out. Dola messaged me saying instantly, I'm on suicide watch. I'm like, mate, I'm in a really good place, but I think it's okay to acknowledge these things. But yeah, I guess, how's it been this year? Who wants to start? I know this is a dark and heavy way to start the podcast, but I think, again, more conversations should...
I guess so, I think, like, generally, and I don't mean this in a tough guy Chris way, like, I don't get that low.
Mm.
But yeah, this year's just fucking knocked the wind out of me a bit, really. And just had a bit of a fucking shit time of it.
Mm.
But and just like all the little kind of things you do to try and pull yourself out of it when you see it coming just weren't working. And just found myself in a bit of a fucking mess, really.
Yeah.
Like, very much functioning and trying to kind of do what I generally do, which is sort of throw myself into work and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've done my head in a few times on Pod Bible stuff, where you've clearly woken up having thought about this thing all fucking night. And there's an 8 o'clock voice note from Stu saying, I think we should get into electric cars or some fucking nonsense. So, all right, Stu's had a bad night.
Yeah, but, you know, I definitely think as you get older, you start to sort of take stock a bit more of stuff and, I don't know, like, just had bits of bad news. Like, literally only 2 weeks ago, I had some really fucking awful news that just fucking knocked me back again. But, I don't know. I'm not fucking in a right fucking shit state or anything, but just not, just lots of change. One of my kids went to university. That's always strange.
The whole dynamic.
The house has changed. And, just lots of kind of weird bits have happened with businesses and stuff like that. And all little things. Just, don't know, I just found myself just thinking, God, I don't know where the joy is anymore.
Mm.
Like, what makes me happy? And all the things that, like, I've thrown myself into, it's well documented if you listen to our core listing and you guys know inside out, whether it's fucking driving around in a camper van, boxing, whatever it is, none of them things...
Strangling.
like strangle wanks, none of that was working. And so, yeah, but yeah, don't, I feel all right today. Like,
I think it's interesting because I think all three of us have the character types that when we get a bit down, we kind of go into ourselves a bit, but not necessarily in a bad way. I know that if I'm going through some shit, I often just don't want to talk about it that much. And me and Chris had some really important chats, and we had some really good chats as well. But a lot of the time, I'm kind of like I know, like, my family like reached out at various points, my dad in particular. And there was points where I was like, look, I'm going to be all the time on my own. I'm going to be thinking about this. So while I'm with someone, I don't particularly want to be going over it again. Like, it's going to be in my head. I've talked about insomnia a lot. Yeah. These things happen. It's like, I'd rather not talk about it. But I never feel that I've got into a place where it feels like a depression or like I feel shit because something shit has happened. Mm. So I've never felt it's a dangerous thing. But obviously, it can be really dangerous for some people, if they're going into themselves too much and not talking and not sharing. So it's a tough one though, right? Like knowing how much to reach out, how many times to check in. I mean, Chris, your year has been fucking relentless, right?
Talk about you and your approach, because mine's somewhat similar. Mm. They're not exactly the same, but...
Do you like a strangle wing?
Yeah, but not my own cock. Should just spat Monster Munch all in his pint there. We're here for you, and like you're not putting us through the ringer for you having to open up. It, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, of course.
You know, if it's all well and good, I think sometimes you do need that ability to decompress on your own and think about it. But I do think having people sometimes to bounce it off is healthy as well. Like, you know, and as you say, it's about finding that balance. But I mean, you can't always just process it yourself, I don't think. I mean, like, I also, one rule for one person is not necessarily the solution for
exactly
us. And I think
that
you're
exactly
very,
that
like, kind of, I check in with you and
I'll always be quite honest with you. I'm not one to shy away. I'll be like, oh, it's shit, mate. Here's why. I've cried a lot.
Well, I think once you start saying that, it puts me off wanting to know more.
Yeah.
No,
I'm just messy. Oh, no, on the joking side, though, I told you this, Chris. I don't think I've told Stu, but there was a point where I said I had a few things happen all at once, and some were good and some were bad, but it was all change all at once, similar to what you're saying about dynamic changing. Mm-hmm. So things like that. And I felt so, only for a few days, I felt so lonely. And during those couple of days, Stu hit me up to see if I wanted to go away somewhere in the camper van. And I realised I didn't feel that lonely. I was like, I feel so alone. Then you were like, we could go somewhere in the camper van. I'm like, no, I'm good, mate.
Feeling all right.
but again, it can be so weird in those things. And I've joked on that because that was my genuine thought. Yeah. But again, it can be weird on that as well when it's like, you might feel completely alone, but equally, if you and Mark and that were going out somewhere, I probably wouldn't have fancied going out. I wasn't in that mood. So it's that weird juxtaposition of you can feel really isolated, but also it's such specific things. Yeah. That God. Will work, you
Can
know.
You imagine if you went away both miserably in that camper van, driving Annie and Mum with a stereo on.
When you two
started a joke,
started a whole while crying. I sent Stu a voice note about that because when you lot did the proper mental health crossover podcast, I thought it was really good. Stu mentioned just listening to I Started a Joke by the Bee Gees on loop, and I was like, neither of these cunts know that song, surely, because they would be cracking up if they knew how miserable this picture was. If the picture this painted, because I think it's a beautiful song, but it's the miserable Bee Gees song, isn't it? All the rest of the Bee Gees is dance, and that's the, I started a joke.
It's quite weird. Everybody does a Bee Gees impression, but nobody can quite get it right. Everyone sounds like Brian Molko.
Yeah. I voice noted you about that, and you took the piss out of my Brian Molko, and I almost sent you my Morrissey and my Sting, because Sting's the one that makes me laugh the most, because I think Sting
just... Can you
just
do a Sting?
Well, I've got a version of Sting that I have.
Okay.
Right, so, like, example, like, Walking on the Moon, right? I think Sting is terrible at reading the room.
Right, okay. Right? You're gonna do it?
Yeah. So Sting comes in, and they're like, oh, we've got this thing. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, and then boom, boom, and it's all gentle. Boom, boom, and then Sting comes in, just going, giant steps are what you think, walking on the moon. And they're like, the fuck are you doing, Sting?
Read the room, Gordon.
Number one, you're singing in patois. Why have you got that accent? And why are you shouting? This was such a tune. Dum, dum,
dum, never thought of that before.
He just screams everything. Yeah. I'm convinced he screams everything. Oh, but yeah, anyway, Chris, back to your year.
Yeah.
But how have you been? Because every time I check in, it's a weird one for checking in because, as stupid as it sounds, I know because of some of the stuff in your life, it's going to be sad update. So it's a case of if you want to go through that. Like sometimes it's nice to just talk about something else. If it's like, how is everything? You're like, well, this, and this.
When sometimes is like, you don't want to keep going over it because like it's just rehashing stuff you've already said. It's just more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I started therapy in March. I did it for about 3 months. It was great. I finished out. I felt really amazing. I thought actually some of our chats that we've had with Tom Davis this year from the Proper Mental podcast, loads of bits and pieces we discussed on there, I took away and tried to live congruently with the values and other aspects that we discussed. And it really genuinely helps. A shout out to Tom and the Proper Mental. Fucking he's getting loads of shout outs.
Yeah, he is.
Rightly
Tom's
right.
A cunt.
Lucky
great
duck.
Great
it was a really
I've,
good one.
I've had enough of this beer already. So OJ beers.
I'm it's nice to do our quality once a week, though. Like just because it is like
I was going to say how important is podcasting because I think as crass as it is at times, I think except for in the '80s, you sound so happy for that whole hour, 2 hours, or whatever else. Same with hardcore listening; it always feels so.
There's times.
Obviously, I don't listen to off the beaten track, but but on those two, I can say.
Yeah, because I think both times, like, you know, both of us over the year, I'm sure, have just gone, oh, fuck's sake, we've got to record now. Yeah. But then I've said it before, and I'm sure I echo, you know, Chris will echo what I say. Like, 5 minutes in, however much you don't do it, we're having a laugh.
Absolutely.
And like, and finish it, it's like, oh, I feel a lot better for that.
It's great for our mental health. Mm. Like, talking about we're like the same entity, but it is amazing. I did the therapy, I finished out, I felt great. I had some things to work through, like parents and other close family members who are quite sick, and other bits and pieces that I just wanted to get my head around and finish it really strong. But then the last 2 months have just been chaotic as fuck. Like, you know, some of it's brought on myself, like just household stuff. Like, isn't it nice that I'm getting my bathroom done? Like, it's difficult because that's such a first world problem, right? But then, you know, mum's health has been really bad. Unfortunately, my partner's health has been really bad. And that has just led to a point where, like, even when I've been so much better at planning, like, this year. Like, I've learned to use it. It sounds so stupid, but I've learned to use a diary and I put everything in there. But the last week, I've not used it very well.
Mm.
And straight my way, my life has been chaotic. The house is chaotic. I nearly forgot this podcast. And as soon as you said it, like even last night, I was like, God, man, that keeps coming in and out of my mind. Because like last year or whatever, I felt way more prepared. And this Christmas, I'm completely out of touch. Like, I've got no one's presents yet. I mean, there's probably a lot of people listening, like, that's fine.
Mm.
But in the last 4 or 5 years, I've got much better at being like really ahead of myself with some of these things. And yeah, so it all just feels a bit like right now, yeah, I feel like shit. I'm super looking forward to doing this for you guys. But it's funny you ask that, Pip, because yeah, I just don't feel particularly great. But you know, I think we both have said this, you kind of know where you are. I know what my markers are in terms of, am I veering into depression and stuff like that? I don't think I am. I just think I'm acknowledging that I'm just under a lot of pressure at the moment.
Mm.
And that'll be all right. It'll be a bit shit for a while. And then things will get easier. And I know they will. I'm not like panic stations. I don't think like my depression markers are there. I know what they look like.
We had genuine discussions about if we do a drunk cast this year. And part of it was scheduling, but part of it was, well, was I know we've all had ups and downs, so it might not be right, but we all decided, no, that makes it more important to get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do one, because it can be tough to find the time. I think it's really interesting to hear the difference getting into using a diary has made, because I think you are someone who fucking hates letting people down, hates the thought of people thinking of you badly in, you know, professional manner or whatever else.
Yeah, more that.
But also, it's, yeah, you're terrible with a diary. It's like scheduling and things like that at times. So that's, again, I don't know if that came from Tom, and things like that. But that's a really good thing to kind of go, right, well, this could alleviate loads of that that's avoidable stress, potentially.
Our policy has been the most organised it's ever been this
year. Yeah, you've mentioned that to me a few times.
Like, I think actually, funnily enough, this week, the last few weeks, it hasn't been. But apart from that, like, if we was to say, as a rule of thumb, this year's been very much ahead of ourselves. Mm. And so the whole the diary thing came from... sometime last year, we discovered that we were watching a show about ADHD, and they were describing people with ADHD, and me and Molly were just going, oh, God, that really sounds like me.
Right.
And it's not like, I don't give a shit if I do or don't have it, in the sense of I don't feel embarrassed about that. And at the same time, I don't want to misdiagnose myself. And so what I decided to do is think, well, before I go and get a diagnosis, because I'm quite busy and it can be expensive, long queues, I thought, you know what? What are some of the ways to combat it? And I looked at a few different methods, and one of them was like an organisation, a planner. And I found one that particularly works for me. Shout out Clever Fox Diaries. And it has habit trackers in there, and, you know, oh, God, it just like straight away. Like, I've realised two things with my brain. Like, I need a clean household, and I need to write down my future, because I can see very long term, very macro things going on with economies and stuff. I can't see a week ahead of my life at all. I'm terrible at it. And so starting to use a diary is literally changed my life. I started taking mushrooms as well, not microdosing, but things like lion's mane, which are good for concentration. And again, at first when I was on them, I was like, I don't know if they're doing anything, but I was hyper productive. And then when I fell out of it, I noticed that all those behaviours were changing. So I didn't physically or mentally feel different, but my output was different. That was the difference I saw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're really positive things, and that's amazing. So I've had actually mostly positive, great year. It's just been literally since you ruined my birthday.
Yeah.
Literally a couple of days after birthday, it all just sort of like going a bit fucking pear-shaped. So,
That's shit.
It's all good. But, I mean, I reckon comparatively I spoke for longer than the pair of you, and I think the pair of you have gone through way bigger challenges.
Well, mate, mine has been a real kind of, as you said there, the epitome of the best of times, the worst of times. I've had some of my favourite times this year, personally and professionally. Like, as you know, the film stuff I'm working on at times has had me on cloud nine, and at times has absolutely crushed me. Yeah. And same in my personal life. I've had some genuinely of my favourite moments of years, but I've also had some of by far my worst, and that can be tough. And it's weird because, as you guys know, and as I'm sure we talk about a lot on the on podcasts, I'm a proper slave to logic. Whatever neurodivergence I've got, it's very logic focused. And I think, that spins me out more maybe when there's stuff like emotions in general don't adhere to logic.
Yeah.
So you can be as logical as you want and go, well, you know, this happened or this happened, but you still, you know, I had a point where I was having a really good week or two, and I went for a walk in Southend, and I came home. I had a lovely walk in Southend, and I came home, and a couple of thoughts and memories just hit me, and I was crying on my sofa, and I hadn't had any tears in weeks at this point. I was in a genuinely good place, felt I'd done appropriate work to process a lot of the things I'd going through, hadn't just ignored it, had kind of taken my time with it and sat in it, hadn't avoided it. And that was just, there was no logic to it at all. I hadn't gone anywhere that triggered specific memories or anything. I just, out of the blue, was just wiped out for at least a day.
It's those things they're just in your subconscious.
It's part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no way you can ever know when they're going to come and catch you.
Yeah.
You know, and something will remind you of something. I have it sounds really funny, but I like seeing old people now is like I just have an affinity for the older generations. Mm. And there's sometimes I'll see a bloke, I'll be in the shops, he'll just remind me of my dad, and it'll just bring it to the surface. And I joke about, we were saying earlier about not crying at the last podcast, but I mean, last year I cried, actually it would have been, it was last year, when I had to take mum into care fully. Man, the crying there was just non-stop. And it was for funny, different reasons. Like, I cried more when I had to then relocate the cat than I did when the first day of relocating my mum. Like, I cried a lot then. But
that's because you relocated it in a box in a river, wasn't it?
Yeah, there goes my fleshlight. and I was howling driving 6 a.m. one morning driving this cat to Chelmsford because I wanted it to go to a similar home to what Mum's got. So I was like, well, I want somewhere where they can relocate the cat into a sufficiently small spiked cage. And I was howling with tears. And I've learned a lot from discussions with my partner Molly. She's very good at, you know, you can't hold down emotions. They can become toxic. So you've got to feel your emotions, man. I think there's a balance to walk, and stoicism is a really important skill in life. And
what's that mean?
You know when you come in and think he's hard.
Sorry. Yeah.
Usually when I'm in speedos. So when you're being able to, like, sometimes be unwavering in certain
instances. Yeah.
Stiff upper lip, yeah. Essentially.
Kind of, yeah, like, when Mum went into hospital and she was, you know, she had an accident, and any form of, like, general anaesthetic is dangerous. She could die under the knife now. She's in that sort of category. And I was all fine for all of that. And the minute that I got off the phone from the doctor saying she's come around from surgery, I was upstairs at my niece's. This was the day before my birthday. And then I knew that the pressure came off. I allowed the pressure to come off. I just started bawling it in the, just relief. It was just fucking tears of relief, as opposed to tears of panic before it all happens.
It's weird, isn't it, how you're so often in those situations. And I know you had a lot of this with your dad passing and things like that. You'll go into responsibility mode. You'll go into for other people. You will be the one to be strong and to get shit done. And that's, again, an absolutely key skill, a really important thing as a member of a family, as a member of a community or whatever else. But it is also one that you do need to check yourself at some point and go, right, now allow myself to have these emotions and feelings. And it's interesting what you were saying, because, again, we discuss all the time how different relationships with different emotions, I guess. But I love when I see, like I've said this before, I've had a few times where I've seen someone who I thought was our mate Jay, and this will be 10 years on, 20 years on, or whatever else, and it'll feel so lovely and warm and nice things. I always remember seeing someone driving along, and she hates this story, but I saw someone driving along, I thought, oh, it looks exactly like my nan. And then he got closer, it was my mum. Because it was just the way that she was sitting, and her frame, it wasn't that she looked as old, but her distance, I was like, oh, it reminds me of my nan. Oh, it's my mum, there you go.
That's why.
All my mum's sisters and my mum, like, they never looked anything like my nan, and now they all fucking just straight up carbon copy.
Yeah.
Looks like my nan.
Yeah.
Just grey, blobby bags of wrinkled flesh.
Yeah.
How you doing, mum?
Chrissy's nan.
Chrissy's nan, ladies and gentlemen.
When it comes to you, Pip, like checking in, I think, you know, gauging, you know, you've been through the absolute ringer, mate, at points, but you seem to, I'm glad you're feeling better. And you always seem to be sort of like processing it as best you can. And
It's been trying to prioritise what's important as well. Like, I took a load of time off Twitch, and I love Twitch, but it's not a priority. It's not as important as just life and your own mental health and your head and things like that. And there are things that I do feel kind of are as important as all that stuff, because they're the stuff that are my absolute passions, like the film stuff or acting and things like that, that take priority. Again, I was lucky as well that I had a couple of acting gigs around that time that were really exciting ones. So that really, I had a good distraction that felt like a productive distraction. And yeah, I did also have time to just go, oh.
I won't go into it, but like, I was aware that something had, you know, there was a change in your situation.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen you. Obviously, like, I'd message you, but then sometimes you're like, no, I'm all right. I'm just keeping my head down for a couple of days. And okay, if that's what works for you, then great. But, you know, but then we met up and we went to London.
Yeah.
And that was so good, because we laugh about it now because we did walk a marathon. Like, we did walk.
How many steps was it?
It was fucking insane.
We did about 30K.
Yeah. It was 30 kilometres. Don't wear vans, kids, if you're going to do that.
I've done 20 today. I had a podcast in London earlier. And I've done 20 today.
We walked right the way across. But it was good because we just spent the whole day just
had a good
wandering
chat.
Around chatting.
Yeah.
And
it was fucking location spotting money for his film.
Of course he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
He weren't really listening. But we did have a good chat to the point where I think when we got on the train on the way back, it was like, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I think we've talked everything.
We'll see you at Grace. See you in a bit, mate. Lovely.
Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, the other thing, as this is a drunk cast, have you both been, has your drinking been this year? Has it been a reasonable level? Do you feel at any point it's been, I know you've mentioned a few times recently you've been getting fucking drunk, but it's because it's been birthdays and cunt and all that. How have you felt? I remember you saying during the pandemic there was a point where you were drinking too regularly.
Yeah.
How do you feel it is at the moment? Are you in a good place with it? Is it?
Probably not. I think about it every day. I think about how much I like. It's weird. I don't. Last night I recorded Acceptable in the 80s, and it was my monthly catch up with, you know, with me mate, and we did have a I had five cans of Guinness. So I had a sore head this morning, but generally I find like if I'm sitting just watching telly, it's not enough.
Right.
It's not enough. And I'm either looking at the clock thinking, how early can I go to bed? Like, it's 8 o'clock too early to go to bed because I've got nothing left to do today. I just want to go to bed and get on with tomorrow. And then if it feels too early, then I think, oh, fucking hell, I'll have a glass of wine. Mm. And I'll have a glass of wine. I won't have like three glasses or a bottle. I'll have a glass of wine. But I don't need that glass of wine.
No, exactly.
But at that time, whether it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I think like, have a glass of wine. Like, because it will alter your state a little.
Yeah.
Because that both the theme that both going to bed early and having a glass of wine is it's turning your mind off, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess, like, you know, without getting you on the sofa, Stu, you have had some really tough things this year. And, you know, you do think a lot. I'm gifted with not thinking so much. And I guess that's why you're combating it. But maybe there's, you know, I can empathise with this. I mean, alcohol at the moment isn't really a thing I'll use to do that. But I've got my own little tricks.
Meth.
What's that?
Meth.
Yeah. Back to the strand. But I don't know, maybe, I mean, the fact that you observe that and you can observe that and, you know, anything in moderation is fine. But if you're having that impulse every night, then it's like how, and also going to bed at 8 could be all right. If you're getting up at 5, you could become part of 5 o'clock.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Mm. I am getting up ridiculously early and getting good stuff done before 8 o'clock. And, you know, and things like I'll get up really early and I'll walk the dog and get some fresh air and start to have a walk and then get some work done, which is great. But I should feel at night that sitting in my home, I should be completely comfortable to just sit and be.
Yes.
And, and I'm not. No. And so, you know, either try and get rid of that day or have a drink. And it's not sustainable, that.
No.
Like, so...
Do you not know how to access my Twitch channel? Because there's fucking great content there. That'll... You know,
things are bad.
You'll be not wanting to go to bed. You'll be like, can I just get a little bit more in?
If I ever joined your Twitch, I guarantee I'll turn on and you'd be talking about wrestling and I'd be like, that's it.
Talk about wrestling on there, actually. I don't think anyone in there is into wrestling as much as I am. And you know I get annoyed talking about things if I can't go into proper detail. And every now and then I'll have someone in the chat make a wrestling comment and I'll be like, they don't really understand, but okay.
You want to talk about it, though.
I want to talk about it, but you're not really in-depth enough for me, for my liking.
Do you, have you considered counselling? One on your own, counselling on your own?
Not really, no.
I've done counselling probably like 4 times now, and I'd say 3 out of those times, the therapist weren't brilliant.
Mm.
And this time the therapist was good. It was good. But even so, like, just going there and, you know, getting to talk and getting a different perspective, it really does help. Like, there's certain things I was feeling guilt about and stuff like that.
Back to the strangling.
but now I have different perspectives on different scenarios, and that alone makes it worth its weight in gold, you know.
It's really positive, isn't it?
You can do it on Zoom if you don't want to go and see them.
Yeah. It's so weird, my own perceptions of counselling. Like, I just instantly think of, and not in a macabre way or any kind of sort of tortured way, but like, I got took to a psychiatrist when I was fucking, I don't know, 10.
Yeah, I can't believe it took years for us to learn this. I remember hearing you talk about this on, except in the 80s,
it was,
maybe.
Yeah, but he actually brought it up last night.
I was like, what the fuck? How do we not know that Stu was sent to the fucking X-Men to be studied?
Yeah, it's like Hogwarts. I just had to just get monitored playing with stickle bricks, which is quite weird. By people that look like they in the white coats from like ET.
I wasn't allowed to use my hand, I had to use my mind, but that was fine.
Or his mouth. That's a whole different. I would say, mate, just because I'm not saying definitely do it.
Yeah, you're not a dad.
Or I've had some big, I've had some big conversations with members of my family this year to say, because again, I think therapy has changed and I think it is, there's more variation and more options. And it could just be good to have someone to talk to about stuff sometimes who is outside of a situation. I've banged on about the Samaritans a million times because of my mum's involvement there, but I think things like that are really important because it's really good to talk to your friends or your loved ones, but sometimes that's the last person you want to talk to. So it can be really good to have this outside voice that can just have a look at it all. Have a look at it all and go...
And then just stare at you.
Yeah.
But I'll keep wanking.
Hasn't stopped me yet. I can't wait to compare this start of the podcast to the full fourth, fifth episode, the shit we're talking about. We're being very grown up and responsible. How about you, Chris? What do you use then as your alternative to, as your distraction, as your get out? Do you feel there's any negative ones?
This year, I've actually played a bit more on the computer. Mm-hmm. And I've actually found that really good at points. And then, hold on, playing it a bit too much. Mm-hmm. And it's never been like long, like massive, like all day sessions. But I was playing it, like I got into this phase of playing it between, like, you know, Molly would go to bed after I fucked the shit. Obviously, I've done my hand on my business as a husband. No, like Molly would go to bed,
good lad.
Unfulfilled. And then I'm playing a computer, which, by the way, is a death knell of any relationship. You have to be really careful with shit like that. You know, your partners don't want that. And I was never intentionally doing that, but I did notice I'd slipped into this thing of Molly needs to go to sleep earlier than me because of her condition. And then I was like, oh, I found a game I kind of quite liked. And then before you know it, it was then a habit.
Mm.
And then I was really looking forward to every night. It was almost like Pavlov's dog. I was like, I actually was looking forward to that, like 10 o'clock mark. Molly's in bed.
That's your glass of wine, mate.
And then it's the glass of wine. Absolutely, sure, it is. But... You've moved closer towards like liver failure, and I've got a 1.5 kill death ratio in Hunt Showdown. So who's laughing?
Exactly, winner.
Who's the real winner?
But yeah, no, that definitely was part of it.
It's interesting. Interesting with games though, because it can be a really healthy thing. Like gaming can be really helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
I know when in my Championship Manager days, like I definitely think I was addicted in some way, and I had to kind of my checkpoint would be think about how I feel when I'm turning the game off. And if I'm feeling really happy and positive and better and progressed, then it's probably not that bad. But if I'm not, and I definitely had that in Champ Man where I'd play for hours on end and then I'd end just going, all right, turn it off and go to sleep. I wouldn't be turning it off going, oh, that was amazing. It's like, it was as if I was at work. I was going in to run a football club. I'm clocking in and clocking off and feeling miserable. It's like, stop doing that. And I'm big on that on all games these days, like particularly with Twitch and things like that, where it can feel like you've got a responsibility to play certain games that everyone else is playing or to be part of this and part of that. I 100% go on that kind of, oh, am I enjoying it? Rather than it's paying, giving me a little bit of money and I'm, you know, doing
that. That's what happens. It's certainly what's happened to me, where if you make all your passions your job, then you're not left with anything that's a passion.
Yeah.
And I do think you
should
fall into that.
As you know, a YouTube channel, Stu.
Yeah. Right.
Fuck's sake. You buy yourself a camper van to can escape. Tune in next week.
That was such a great, like, I was so happy to see you buy that camper van, Stu. Like,
yeah.
From a selfish perspective, because I get to go in it. No, I mean, like, generally for you, because I thought you've talked about it, you really talked about it, like in a fantastical way, fanciful way. And you did it. And you didn't do it in that way where you just threw every bit of money you could at it. You were sensible, like with your purchase and the van you got. And yeah, I just would, you know, hope to see you use it to death, really, mate. And then, but you can't go like every night at probably driving at 8 o'clock just to give you that fix. I think the 5 o'clock club, obviously, that will make you more tired. Mm. 8 p.m. seems still a bit early. Get yourself another hobby. I know you were saying that you wanted to build your dioramas for your Star Wars or something like that. You for me, like, I haven't done any painting of me Warhams. That's what I like to call it now, Warham.
Yeah, I hate you when he calls it that.
Yeah, everyone does. It encourages me to say it more. but I still will buy the miniatures to build them because I like just the modelling. So when I get a chance, I'll do that. Modelling.
That's all I ever did with them. I bought figures to glue them together and put them all together, and I never got into the painting of them because I felt I wasn't good enough. Yeah. They look really nice in the silver, like metal or whatever it is. Yeah. I paint them and they look shit. Yeah. It's like, let's just leave them as they are.
Oh, I'm a brilliant painter. I just don't have time. I've built my cellar now, so I'm going to set up a little paint station down there.
Carry on strangling down there.
I'll never stop strangling, mate.
How's the exercise? Because I know you and me met up to go and see the Meg 2, and before Mark got there, I thought you looked healthier, looked in a good way. How's that been?
Yeah, great, getting stronger.
What have you been doing?
I probably do 5 times a week now. Having said that, this week I haven't been once, like it's been so chaotic, but like up until this Monday, I'm 5 times a week and you wake up wanting to exercise, sometimes do the workout at 6 a.m, finish for 7, and you come out of the gym at 7 a.m, you feel like you're fucking on top of the world.
Yeah.
That's an amazing feeling, yeah. And I'm not so much, I started it for more, partly because, you know, I want to look all right for my partner. You know, I was getting a bit like out of shape, and I don't really want to put her through that. I'm 10 years old now. I don't want to be too dad bod around her. But I started it for more aesthetic reasons, but definitely more now. You just feel physically better, and I'm super strong now.
You are super strong now. The discipline now is not exceeding that, in my opinion, because I think exercise becomes addictive, and I know loads of people who online do a lot of fitness stuff, and I'll drop a message every now and then going like, how disciplined are you on your rest days and on not being in the gym, because it can become such an addiction, particularly when you start to post about it and it becomes part of your identity. I know a lot of people who are in some kind of workout 7 days a week, and that's not good for you. You should, like, rest days are important for your body and for it not becoming a crutch that you're relying on, kind of thing. So yeah, it's interesting there. So I was pleased to hear 5 days. That's good.
There's
a couple of rests in there. You're taking some breaks. You're not going over the top.
Loving it, mate. Because you on and off did a bit of running, didn't you, Stu? You've been doing any at the moment? You walk the dog.
You go and punch people a lot. You go and punch and kick people.
I box once a week, sometimes twice.
It occurred to me when you were talking about this on another podcast. I've no idea how good he is.
Oh, fuck it.
He's been going for a long time, though, so he's probably all right.
He's very modest. Whenever you talk to him, he's quite modest about it, and I always think that's, you know, if you're going to, you're better to be underestimated in a fight, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I think he's being modest, so he's probably a bit more handy than he's fucking
left. Well, I like the idea of that, but I'm 50.
Wish that was the case.
I'm 50. I've been doing it like 14 years now, but...
Yeah, well, you can bloody punch then, can't you?
And but I now look like when old men used to come to the gym when I was younger, and I used to think, oh, fucking hell. Mm. Like, they look old. And now if I ever see a lot of video of me doing sparring or whatever, I just think, oh, I've become that guy. I joined the gym a couple of weeks ago at our old college, Palmer's.
Oh, really? I used to go to the gym at Palmer's.
Yeah. Like, I just go in there lunchtimes and that.
Help Luke get them all stretched up and that warmed up.
I help them out. It's just putting a little bit back into the community. But
only a little bit back into the community.
Very little bit.
Me and my dad used to go to that gym. Like when my parents first said, and we talked about this on our other podcast that we never did anymore, that when my parents split up, me and my dad started going to the gym at Palmer's every week, and we'd go for a workout and a sunbed.
That's quite weird.
And no one can ever imagine me using a sunbed.
I can't imagine your dad using a sunbed.
Yeah, so when we're in college.
You never look brown.
I never turned it on. Just had to lay down, just have some peace and quiet. Like everyone's doing my head in.
Finally, Dad stopped talking.
Quiet about Mum.
It was a really nice thing that we'd, again, because it was that thing of when your kids are that bit older, it's finding what you're going to do and what you're going to bond over. Like, again, I think a lot of the reason sometimes we don't all see each other as much as we might like is because we're not fucking, let's go down the pub, have a few pints, have a catch up. That's in so entrenched in our society of that's how men catch up. Again, I've told it before, but I always remember when me and Mangan were trying to have a catch up. But he's someone that will always reach out, and I always try to remember to reach out to him if I haven't heard from him and just say, you all right, mate? How's it going? But I remember he was having a rough time and I suggested we went for a walk because I was like, let's have a walk and a chat. Like, again, I'm not really up for going and sitting, particularly around here. We've not got any particularly nice pubs.
No.
So it's like, I don't want to go and sit in a pub with a load of fucking cunts
and
have any weirdness. So we went and had a big walk along Southend and just, yeah. It's finding that those things, whether it's Palmer's Gym and a sunbed. Just start having a sunbed in there. You're definitely having a sunbed in there, actually, aren't you? Stu's the brownest person I know, easily. That's the real reason you're going.
Who nicked you? I was brown a couple of days ago.
Was it you? Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
When you were walking up the high street and we were meeting in Rayleigh.
Yeah.
And you look browner than everyone. Everyone's like cold and ruddy and Stu's walking along bronzed.
As the promoter.
Yeah.
Peter Stringfellow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Fucking hell. I've never had a sunbed, ever. Have you?
I have.
I mean, they're bad for you, aren't they?
I've had two. My whole life. I was dating one. Probably one of my most traditionally sort of, when was this? Probably mid-2000s, my girlfriend was very much the sort of, like, I don't say, to say girly girl is like, what does that mean? But sort of, she'd get her fingernails done, you know, very much the sort of, like, would be going to the Sugar Hut sort of look girl. Mm-hmm. So she was always brown, even in winter, and probably was sick of fucking dating one of the guys from Cocoon. It was quite a stark love making, like, you know, yeah. So I literally had two and just thought, not for me, especially because I'm genuinely a cancer magnet, aren't I?
Yeah.
So I did it and thought, what am I doing? This is kind of stupid. And that was it. I didn't get anything from it. I think I went slightly pink.
Yeah.
I thought, no, this is fucking stupid thing to do.
I can't imagine you with a tan.
No, I have really fit. Literally in the light. I used to be quite tanned as a boy. So if you try and think of me as nine with a nice golden tan.
Okay.
Think about that. Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Bib's got his eyes closed.
Hang on. Do you want, at the moment, close on?
No, we're looking at his tan string.
Right, off.
I was always in the sun, hanging around Clacton. And I actually wonder if that was a cause of why I've got so many moles now.
Yeah.
Because probably wasn't that healthy the amount of time I was spending in the sun as a little blonde lad.
We spoke earlier of backstories. I'm glad you explained casually thrown in. I've always been I'm very much a cancer magnet. And us two are going, yeah. Yeah. It's because you've got a lot of moles and stuff like that. It's a really weird thing to try and casually. Obviously,
I've had
a cancer magnet.
Two by other people, one by myself.
Oh wow!
Don't do that, kids.
But are you enjoying the gym?
I went 3 days on the row and done 5K each day, and then done my back in and got flu. And I never get ill.
Copy of me, because I had that about a month ago, didn't I? I did my back in, and then I got a cold that came out of it.
And I never get ill. Never get colds or anything like that. And I thought, I think I might have COVID, but I didn't have COVID. But yeah, I just felt rotten for a week, and then my neck got better Friday, and then it's just been. I was away at the weekend, and then recording last night. So I'm hoping tomorrow evening I'm going to go and have a little 5K.
Are you doing? Just running then? Are you doing any of the weights and stuff like that?
Do you know what? I've never been into weights, and I know you should, but what was weird was...
It's really good for everything else, because it's not. It's about strengthening your body for all the other bits.
I got there, and...
Yeah, and for weight loss, it's kind of the myth that cardio is there. And again, I get that myth in my head all the time. If I'm feeling I've been eating badly, I'll do mainly cardio every day for a bit, and that's not... it's not a healthy mindset. I'd say that's one of my negatives, and that I've tried to readdress exercise wise is if I can't be asked, I can always be bothered to do cardio. And that can get dangerous because you can have a big calorie deficit, and that's not good for you.
But totally.
Again, I get that in my head of cardio is if I wanted to shed some timber, whereas Chris is completely right. Weights is as good, if not a better way for losing weight. I had a really nice... Oh, me and Tom are going to try and start going to the gym a bit because he hit me up about... Yeah.
Tom the Chip.
Yeah.
Tom's looking lean.
He's looking great.
Oh, he'll always be fat. I mean, this comes from the 90s when he wasn't even fat. I mean, not that
it wasn't fat then either, so let's not get... There's no fat shaming here. For some reason, that was his name. But I had a... When I went on that... Well, I mean, we've not really talked about this. When I went on that kind of shamanic journeying thing, we talked about that? Did we talk about that on the drunk...
I don't know if we're talking about drunk...
Talked about it somewhere, but...
We might have done.
When I went on that, while we were there, me, Stevie Graham, Rob Parker, Stevie's son... This guy, like a few other lads, all went to like a gym there because Rob's got really into his gym. Yeah. Like you've had him on the podcast. Incredible. He's looking fantastic. Yeah, he's a stud. And that was really nice because I've been doing all my kettlebell stuff for a decade now. And it's fine, but I've been doing it for ages. It's all the same stuff. I know what I'm doing. So it's really nice to have someone like Rob led our workout. I mean, it was beautiful to see Stevie and his boy. They went off and Stevie led their workout. So it's just beautiful to see them training together. And Alfie's like in good nick now and all that. So that was cool. Stevie's in amazing shape for his new show he's doing. He's playing a boxer. It looks fantastic. You'll love it. Mm. I went and visited the set a few weeks back. It looks fantastic. Me and the other two guys just kind of... let Rob lead and use a load of machines I don't normally use because I've never particularly been a gym machine guy because I'm a functional fitness guy and kettlebells and CrossFit and all that. But it's variation, isn't it? Stuff that's making it interesting. And there's definitely a few things that we did there that I now do at home all the time and have brought into things. And yeah, I think it's good just to get that variation.
You're back on the exercise. You look pretty.
I'm all right. I mean, we'll get into this in another episode, but I did a kind of weird, sexy photo shoot this year, so I got in really good shape for that. Stu's had a glimpse. I flashed up one of the pictures when we were doing a Zoom call. We'll talk about it. It's a particular photographer I'm a fan of, and they were over in the country, and they do a lot of their speciality is light on flesh, so there's a lot of flesh.
I've been dragged into that with you when we were like
mate,
I'm not falling for that.
It's true. Chris had to take a picture of me naked and he wouldn't look. He turned away and pressed the flasher.
Why?
It's when I was doing photography. It was a photography project at uni.
Project, by the way.
He then
wasn't allowed back to the uni.
Ain't it normally the photographer's like, I'm going to make you a star? Yeah. Was you groomed by the actual person he was photographing?
Yeah, it's my project ID entity it was. He wore all different fucking outfits before. And then
normally the photographer is getting someone in and getting them to take their clothes off. I was like, Chris, come in, I'll take my clothes off. I'm just going to loosen this. I'm just going to loosen this a little bit. He genuinely looked away. Yeah. It was so funny.
You keep telling everyone I genuinely looked away. That only just uncovers that was your whole plan all along. He didn't look, though.
No, it's just so funny. It's so funny that like we've shared hotels together, we've had all sorts of things, but the discomfort at that age of like, no, he's going to be naked. I'm just going to turn away and... Ugh. But yeah, so I've got into good shape, but I've been up and down on the fitness and health stuff. There's been points that I proper got into it and points I like at the moment that I know I'm never overdoing it. Mm. Like
I'm definitely not doing that either.
Yeah. But again, like it's that thing of like I think particularly with if fitness gets into your algorithm on social media, then you're seeing stuff constantly of what you can do and the mentality stuff, and it's not about... It's not about habit, it's about discipline, it's not about this, it's about that. And again, I think all of that can work for some and can't work for others. So, yeah, I felt in a decent place in that if I want to not work out for a bit, I won't work out for a bit. And then when I get back, I feel all the better for it and, yeah, get a good buzz. I mean, we're at the end of the first episode. Yeah. Or should we try and get a listener question in just quickly?
Let's do it.
Let me see who you've got. The question, any chance the three of you can go on a road trip in Stu's new camper van? I'd watch that on YouTube all day long. Well, where are we going to go and what are we going to do? That's from Georgie Scriven.
Hello, Georgie. I mean, I know you and Cunt told me the idea of being outside and camping was your idea of hell.
Yeah.
And there is only one double bed in it, so it will be...
Did he specify with you or...
Oh, good point. Yeah.
No, but that's perfect. If we're going somewhere, I get a B&B, you two in your double bed.
Hang on, golden.
No, fucking golden.
Because the last time... The only time I shared a fucking camper van was with you, Pip, and... That didn't work out.
What, because of the ghost?
Because of the ghost.
And find out more about that in the next episode of The Drunkcast.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was part one. And what a grown-up first part. Oh, what an unusually grown-up first part. I hope you enjoyed it, because, as I said, I did feel that we needed to start it in a way that I hope people might be able to relate to. Don't worry. It becomes a drunk mess soon enough. There's plenty of laughs. I mean, there was plenty of laughs in that, but there's plenty of laughs and debauchery to come, so... Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta, ta-ta.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.